You know, I guess one person can make a difference. Enough said.
Before we start the show, I wanted to make a statement about Stan Lee. Stan was an inspiration to many generations, creating some of our most loved comic characters. And without his influence over geek culture, we wouldn't have the platform to do what we do in some ways, you know, the way that we are. So we call ourselves the Kings of Geek Culture, but we wouldn't be able to have that moniker had Stan not led us down that path. We're truly blessed to have been impacted by him in our life. Stan loved creating worlds, but little did he know he would help mold our world into what it is today. And from everyone in the Gorilla Brain family, old cast members, and future ones to come, thank you, Stan. And let's have some fun and continue on with the show.
Hey!
And welcome to another episode of Gorilla Brain. Today we're going to be talking about shows that should have ended sooner. Sean's here to assist, and away we go. Topic number one, Tales from the Crypt. It should have ended, what, Sean? Season six. Season six, yeah. When we marathon these things, season seven comes up, and we're like, well, you know, we've come this far. We got to keep going. So we just soldier through it. We don't really enjoy it. There might be, what, Sean, three episodes, maybe?
I'll go out on the limb and give it a four, because I'm trying to think positive here. But, I mean, tops, there's four good episodes. Because that season, it's not much win there. I think there's like four. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to really think about it, because I always stop at six. So if there is, I can't even recall.
Well, I know that the budget really ran out on season seven. Like, they filmed it all in the UK, and most of the episodes seems like they filmed it in a warehouse.
Oh, you could feel it, dude. That was one of those shows that I really wish they would have just stopped with six, because, I mean, it's an anthology type thing, so there's no real connection between the seasons or anything like that.
Yeah.
And when you get to seven, the money's gone. You kind of feel like a lot of the love is kind of gone. Like, it's just all business, and it just shows. The last episode's animated. They were so done. It's an animated episode.
Right. Well, that also spawned into an animated series for kids, which is kind of weird, but...
That, you know, more proof that it should have stopped while it was ahead. Nobody wanted that.
Right. And the only episode that really sticks out in season seven for me is the one with the mask. The guy that he's into, like, S&M and bondage and stuff, and he finds that girl with the mask. You know what? You remember which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
She's like, you can do whatever you want to me, and he just like goes to town on her and does some fucked up shit on her. And
is the one where the man gets cut in half because he's dating the twins? Is that? I think that's seven, right?
No, that's Joe Pesci, and that is season six.
Ah, see, yeah, I mean. I didn't mind the animated one. It really, that's the one that I remember the most, is the animated one with Bobcat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame. I love the show, and I can't praise it enough, but that's season seven. It's there if you feel like you need a bit more. It's the deleted scenes of a series. Like, you can watch them. You don't really need to, though.
I think they spent the budget on John Cassier's salary, honestly. The budget wasn't there. If you even look at the animations for the Crypt Keeper, for the puppeteering and all that, he's very less animated than he was in previous seasons.
Oh, still here, creeps? What's the matter? Didn't get your minimum deadly allowance of murder, madness, and mayhem?
He's just kind of more like, what was the third movie called?
Ritual. That's the one where it's basically a head stuck on a chair, because that's basically what it was. That was terrible.
Yeah, I think they used the same Crypt Keeper puppeteering for that. So he was very less animated. He wasn't the Crypt Keeper that we know and love. He had all of his puns and all that, but it was just really cheaply done. And I just wish that that last season didn't exist at all.
Because he was on death support?
Oh, you son of a bitch. I love it. Yeah, pretty much. Season six, I would say that the show peaked at season six, and then seven's just an add-on. If you want it, it's DLC. If you want it, it's there. If not, fuck it. Go back to season one and start over. That's what I would do.
Yeah, Toonami that bitch.
Yeah, go right back to Raditz. No doubt about it.
And where can you find all this spectacular space food? At Spacey's. Now with our new Raditz menu. Spacey's. It's good food. In space.
So, that's really it for Tales, because it's, individual episodes, so it's not like there's any overall themes or anything, but definitely that season seven.
Right. Like, let's stress this out to the people listening. We don't hate these shows. They're not bad shows. These are just shows that should have ended sooner than they did. Like, they passed their peak. They lost their flavor. It wasn't the same old song and dance. So, however you want to put it to yourself. So, we don't hate these shows. There are a lot of these that we have here are actually good shows.
But yeah, this one in particular is one of my all-time favorite shows, and sadly, it is what it is.
And let me stress that it was way better on HBO than it was on Fox, because Fox edited so much shit that it made it almost unwatchable. Yeah, don't go back to Fox Tales from the Crypt. There are rips of it out there. I don't suggest you watch them. Not even if you're watching that with children.
Or the complete series did just come out, and it's pretty damn cheap. Treat yourself. I mean, it's DVD, but
Well, speaking of DVDs, you can't get it on Blu-ray, but X-Men the Animated Series, another show that should have ended sooner.
Oh, yeah.
The last season, or the last volume, if you want to go by the DVD, but the last season of X-Men the Animated Series wasn't good. The animation was half-assed. They completely lost their budget. And then the last, five or six episodes? Was it five or six? Yeah,
it was like five or six.
Was done by Saban. Okay, they brought in Australian voice actors. They completely redid the art. The voice acting was god awful. The stories were terrible. Like a Morlock Christmas was awful.
I think Wolverine stayed. There was like one or two of the original voice actors. They managed to stay, but it doesn't help.
No, not at all. And even before the Saban takeover, it just wasn't good. Like, none of the episodes even stick into my mind. The one with like Captain America and Storm? Omega Red and the Submarine. Like, that was one of the episodes.
I like that one.
That's really the only one that really sticks in my head from that season.
Was the Morlock, not Morlock, the Phalanx thing, wasn't that season five, volume five?
No. Phalanx was volume three. That was a short two-parter.
But, the show, in my opinion, I love X-Men animated series. Mm-hmm. One of the best animated shows of all time. But it should have ended after, what was it called, the Beyond Good and Evil, I think it was, where he got all the psychics. That was such a big, massive event for that show. It should have ended right there. That should have just capped it off.
Right. And if you go back into episode two in our archives, we actually talk about in-depth X-Men the Animated Series. But it is mentioned that Beyond Good and Evil was supposed to be the end. But Fox said, hey, we love that money. So they opted up for another season, and they just rush-jobbed it, and it just sucked ass.
Yeah, that show, I think, had the potential to go a lot longer, but not with Fox writing, and especially not with them, the bankruptcy of Marvel and everything. So
yeah, didn't help things at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't a terrible season, but the Saban shit got awful. Cut that shit off.
But then why do people hate us?
People fear what they do not understand.
Nothing sticks out in my mind that was really good.
You know, honestly, it's right up there with the Tales from the Crypt. You can watch after Beyond Good and Evil if you want. I think there might be one or two winners in there, but it's not necessary. You're not going to miss anything major. All the best shit is before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the Captain America Wolverine flashback to World War II. That was pretty cool.
Episode, the submarine. I forgot season 5 so much. I thought that episode was an X-Men Evolution.
No. I do love X-Men Evolution though. Another one that was, you know, that'll be next week's, you know, show is we're gonna flip flop this shit and have shows that should have been longer. X-Men Evolution could possibly be on that discussion panel.
Yeah, except for we all know what X-Men show will be on that one. So, buckle up.
Indeed. So, let's keep it going. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I thought that it peaked after, like, season maybe 5. I think after season 5, once he started hooking up with Spike and shit like that, I'm just like, eh, I don't want this. Mm.
Well, besides the fact that show had a terrible shit ending.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. I hate that ending of that show so much. But really, Buffy falls into a trap that a couple of the other shows on this list falls into. His Buffy got real formulaic. Mm-hmm. And when she's having a good time, you're having a good time. Then the relationship crap happens. She's sad. Then the show's crap while she's sad. And they do that a lot. And as the show went on, you just got so used to seeing, you know, these patterns. And, you know, besides the show being on a decline, you would hit these sad patches. So now the fun's not there and the writing sucks. And you're just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, like you said, when she's happy, you're happy. You're having a good time. It's all gravy, baby. But then when she's sad, like, it's not just her. That's sad. Like, everyone on the show is completely miserable at the exact same time. But when Buffy's happy, everybody's happy. I don't get it.
Yeah, it was actually one of the things that I find funny that everybody praises Josh Whedon about. But one of the things he tends to do, at least in this, I thought, is they really focus too much on Buffy being the center of the universe. So it's so weird that in the show, when she gets dumped or her man dies or whatever bad thing happens to her, everybody in the entire universe, it just feels dreary around her.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of like, you know, you're not having a good time. You're just kind of like just trying to get through this. It's the kind of episodes where you're fucking with your phone, well, at least now. And, you know, just something, just like, all right, come on. Let's, you know, we're not here for this. You don't watch Buffy to be bummed out.
Yeah, I mean, they try to make her a sympathetic character, but you actually kind of bored us at the same time. You know, that you're trying to get our sympathy, but we're not feeling it, so we're going to look to do something else. We're going to watch something else. I did watch Buffy when it was on TV back in the day. I didn't watch the last 2 seasons, so I would say season 5. After that, it kind of lost me.
I didn't watch them until I think either Stacy got the DVDs. No, I don't think she had the DVDs. Maybe Netflix. I didn't finish it till later either.
Mm. Although she does have a really cool box set out there on DVD. I dig that big red box. And then Angel, the spinoff of Buffy, he had one in like a treasure chest.
Yeah, we actually have that one. And funny you should mention Angel. Is Angel for me? It was a very similar thing to Buffy. It started off a lot of fun, and it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of could feel like it was getting ready to get canceled because it just kind of like some of the themes and some of the places they went, you're just kind of like, eh.
And also, you know, I'm thinking about it now, is Buffy kind of started as like an anthology in a way. Like every episode was different. I mean,
it was a monster of a week.
There was a menace, you know, it was a ghost or it was a werewolf or, you know, it was something. And there was always that big bad villain in each season, but every episode had something else, you know, villain of the week, like you said. But then when it got into the later seasons, that kind of stopped being a thing. And it focused more on the big bad and the overall. It's kind of like comics. Kind of like comics used to be, right? You know, big bad of the week, right? And now everything is just this big, drawn-out fucking arc. It's kind of how Buffy was. You know, it started off fun and dandy, and then it just started going into serious territory. And once it went into that territory, I think the show took itself too seriously.
And it really did. You could feel just a lot of the characters, especially in the early season, you could feel that fun they had with them, you know, with the werewolf and the witches. And it was really fun. And it just, unfortunately, just started taking that out of there. And you would get more into the drama aspect. And that's just not what you watch that show for.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, it's one thing to be sympathetic for your hero, but it's another thing to fucking bore us to tears.
If we want her to be exactly, she'll never be exactly. I know the only really real Buffy is really Buffy, and she's gone who?
You know, we're not, you know, we weren't always feeling what she was feeling. You know what I mean? Like you said.
When her depression lasts a half a season, and you're just like, come on, man. Let's. I get you're down, but it's TV time. It's been months, man, and it's time to, you know, get back out there. Get this show back on the road, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be bummed out for like five episodes.
And like you said, man, like the series ended flat for me. The Hellmouth opened, and you know all these demons and stuff. You'd think of this big epic fight, but it's kind of like you get a little bit of fighting in there, and then it's just like it's over. Like it didn't live up to the hype that they built up for it.
It wasn't even that. Well, I mean, it was that, but that was a factor. And also the end of that show for me. You know, when I watch shows like this, I like a lot of the characters, not just the main character.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, for some reason, they did Xander unusually dirty for that show. I don't know why they hated that character and wanted to do him like Yamcha dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But his character had such a crap ending for, you know, he's always been the friend that was there. And, you know, he always did his best and helped him out. And,
right.
You know, things, and they just...
They plucked his eye out for one, just to send a message to Buffy. That's fucked up. And then they kill his girl.
Yeah, like that's how you end the show. One of the main characters who you've been watching the show with for five seasons, you know, this whole time, and yeah, you like the whole group, and you're just like, why? Who the hell hated that character so much that that's his reward for always being there and doing the right thing, that he's the only one that ends up alone and fucked up?
Right.
And a fun
fact, though, I always thought it was Bruce Campbell's kid, because he has, like, facial features and the hair that just always reminded me of Bruce Campbell. I could have sworn up and down it was his kid.
Hey, maybe we'll get him to be the new Ash. Drop a note.
Hey, I'll take whatever Ash I can get, buddy. They canceled Ash vs. Evil Dead, and my universe hasn't been the same since. So,
well, luckily, the good people at Blizzard gave me a new Ash to fill the time.
Yeah, new Ash character. So let's move on from Buffy. I know that's depressing for you, but we're gonna move on to even more depressing times. The Walking Dead. I feel that The Walking Dead probably peaked. I don't want to think about it. It's hard to say because it has so many ups and downs, but I would say that
whole show is an up. Like, the first season was phenomenal, and anybody who likes the show will tell you that show, that you killed it.
Absolutely. Best season.
You follow it with a weak, shittiest season of the entire show, season two.
Farmland the Dead.
And then it gets tolerable for three, four is a little iffy and kind of starts to bore you the way they go, and then at the very end of five, things start to get good.
Well, four they fucked up the governor. I did not appreciate that one bit, but go on.
They didn't. And then, okay, so then five, most of five, you're still dealing with the fucked up aftermath of governor stuff, still not that good.
Mm-hmm.
The end of five, starting to get good. The build up to Negan, really good. Like, that season, I think it's six or seven.
It's seven. Six.
the last episode of six, the last couple six and seven, for a second, I'm like, oh shit, like Walking Dead is definitely, this is, you know, almost season one, because I like the Negan stuff so much.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, they got too big of an actor, an amazing actor, and the perfect actor for the role, but now he's not there. And then when they're not doing Negan stuff, the show kind of gets off track again. They there's so many characters that they do kind of wrong.
Kind of?
Well, you know, there's one, and I can't remember her name currently. She was the one that had a thing with Daryl for a minute.
Carol?
Carol. Oh, God, I couldn't stand her.
Oh,
when she went off by her own and got real fucking whiny for like 12 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
All that. I didn't even care about the kid. Like, I was like, yeah, just write her off. Let's not even check in. I don't even care at this point. And just some of the places they took that show, which sucked because they finally were back on, you know, with season six and seven. And then now I got to the scene in the junkyard where they introduced these little junkyard people. And by that point, the show kind of, I haven't been back. I'm not even caught up anymore. I just lost interest. It's just so, and now, you know, from what I'm reading with the Rick and Carl, just
Coral.
Kill it. They broke that show. Redo it. Animate that bitch. Throw it on HBO. You'll have a hit show.
And do it in black and white, please. Thank you.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, if they animated that show, and even on AMC, you animate that show and you bring the comic to life, you follow that panel for panel, you'll have a show that'll outdo that half-ass bargain bin Walking Dead that you're giving the people.
It's true.
I mean, it has some cool moments. You know, I don't want people sending me hate mail. I know you people love The Walking Dead, and there are parts I like. It, you know, the Negan stuff is all really good, and there are good parts in there. But come on, be real with your show. That show is very flawed, and just they can do better.
So to take it back to what I was saying is, like, I was trying to figure out where it peaked, and I was thinking about it while you were talking, and I can't think of a time that it peaked. I'll say after season one. After season one, it peaked for me. And then it's by the numbers after that.
I had a few spikes on the way, but basically for me, the Negan episodes,
mm-hmm.
when they first introduced Negan and he was getting half their stuff, that what is it, like six really, really good episodes?
Yeah.
That to me is
we watched
the best they ever did.
Season seven while you were down here last Christmas, I think, I want to say.
Yeah, and I enjoyed all of that. That Negan stuff, I was surprised at how much I was digging the show. And then they went back to their ways again, and it's just been a downward slope for me. I just feel like it's just like they just can't get that ball rolling.
Right. And I don't think because they're at their lowest viewership in record since the first season.
Oh, look at what they're doing. They're terrible. We just need to stop.
It's just cash cowing. That's all it is. It's just a money printing machine. And there's a couple of these shows on our little list here, our discussions, that are like that. They just printed off money. It's like, oh, this is successful. This is going to get a lot of ad revenue. Let's just keep this going.
You ain't wrong.
You know, so, okay, fair enough. So The Walking Dead is just another example of just printing money.
You're not wrong.
And you're taking the quality and just throwing it to the side. You know, we can't even blame a writer strike on this one. You know, at least with, you know, Heroes, we can blame the fucking writer strike because that was a legit thing. Same with 24. That's legit. This, there is no writer strike. This is just lazy fucking writing.
Like I said, I don't know why they're doing it the way they're doing it. It's just so many odd decisions.
Yeah. So I think it should end. I don't think it should carry on. I mean, they just killed off Rick. Well, you know, he's going to be in a couple of Walking Dead movies. Why? Then why not just keep the
movies to make more money?
I mean, you're from what I understand, because I haven't watched the last two seasons. Pretty much once. Negan is out of the picture. I'm just like, fuck this shit.
And that's saying a lot, dear listeners, because I was there when Ray soldiered through those first four seasons. There were times where I was basically doing other stuff while it was playing background noise. But this boy soldiers through that. And if he bailed, That tells you everything you need to know right there.
Yeah, because my loyalty is unwaning. It takes a lot to break me. But the laziness from the show broke me. And it's gonna take a lot to get me back. So now it's in the category that I have where I have my shows, but I will not watch them until I buy them on Blu-ray. Essentially.
Like me and the Arrowverse.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much any CW show for you is like, okay, when I get it, I'll watch it. I'm not going to keep up with it. You know, it's whatever. That's kind of where I have Walking Dead right now. It's not a top priority. Is it a good show? Probably. The last couple seasons probably are. And I'll get to them eventually. But, well, actually, you know what? I might have to catch up because they're going to introduce Alpha and Omega.
Oh, the Whispers?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have the Whispers. They're already the laying,
stuff?
Yeah, they're laying groundwork.
Fantastic. As far as I know, I'm caught up on the story in the comics, or at least trade-wise, and it is very good.
Right.
And as of right now, from what I've watched, yes, show has hit its peak. But if they can capture any of that greatness that is the Whisperer War, which is going to be hard to do because two big parts of it are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, if they can get any of that greatness in on screen, I think it's going to be really good. But being that Coral and Rick are gone, some of the best parts of it are never going to happen now. And yet, even more reason why I hope one day I get an animated version. Because there is some good stuff that I'm never going to see on screen now that I would like to see, you know, in motion.
Mm-hmm. Since they're throwing out movies to all these different characters, Rick's going to have a movie. I think they said something about Michonne, Carol and Daryl or something. Somebody's, they're all getting these movies or whatever. Why can't we have a Negan movie? Have Jeffrey Dean Morgan star in the film and then let it go on to make millions and billions of dollars. There you go.
Yeah, I would buy that easy. Easy. Make that movie, put it in the theater, do me a favor, have McFarlane do the poster, and bam.
Well, I mean, the story's already written. They've already done the history of Negan, so why not just do that?
Because AMC doesn't give a shit about the source material, as far as I can tell.
True story.
They take it at face value, and they don't dig any deeper. As from what I've seen, they'll see cool stuff, and there's none of the I can't think of a word, but it's missing something. It's like you're just getting a box. You're not getting the contents, and that's how they do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's Walking Dead. First season's the best. After that, it's all DLC content. I mean, it could have ended at season one. It really could have. And season one's only like, what, 5 episodes?
Honestly, for me, like I said, season one and season 6 or 7, it's whatever season has the Negan on the cover with the bat. That was my favorite season. I almost bought just that season. But it's just not enough high enough win ratio for the show. You're paying the piper and you're not getting your contents worth.
Here's a little refresher on who the hell I am. I wear a leather jacket. I have Lucille. And my nutsack is made of steel. I am not dying until I am damn good and ready.
Yep. So, I've said my piece. I'm talking in circles now.
Okay. So then let's move on. Let's go to The Simpsons. Now they're on their, what, 28th season?
Yeah, 28.
I'm going to say this. As a lifelong Simpsons fan, I'm going to say that it peaked after about season 8. After about you know what? I'll give it a little bit extra. Season 10. I'll cut it off at season 10.
Yeah, I would say that.
Everything that you know and love about The Simpsons, between quotes, things that you remember, it all happened in between seasons 1 and 10. Anything after that is irrelevant. It's Blade Trinity. You don't fucking remember it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I still enjoy the show, and I still watch it here and there. I'll do a few episodes here and there, and I have not seen it all. So this is just my opinion from what I've seen. I've seen all the way up to 13 and then a few randoms over the course of the past decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the 1 through 10, is really like the best of the stuff, you know, like you said. And even for me, it's more so 2 through 10 because I can't watch season 1 anymore, really. The voice actor's not over and it just irks the hell out
of me. The animation's really low budget. And yeah, I got you on that. The voice acting is just eh.
Yeah, they refined it with 2 and above. And the problem is, for Simpsons, at least what I feel is, I think what had happened is when once, you know, Futurama, which I know they did, and Family Guy and other animated shows like that started to peak, mm-hmm. what you'll notice in Simpsons is they sort of tried to blend in some of the elements from these other shows, and they kind of lost a little bit of what made them great, at least from what I'm seeing in season 13, which is, you know, where I'm at.
So they lost their focus, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, like it's not terrible, and I'm sure there's a good couple of episodes that are, you know, the past 13 through 28, I'm sure there's great episodes in there, so, you know, don't send me hate mail. I do enjoy the show, mm-hmm. but for what I've seen, it definitely feels like they lost their focus, and they really tried to do, you know, tried to take the show in a way that they really shouldn't have.
Right. I think they tried to introduce too much real-world aspect, you know, trying to stick with the times. You know, in shows like that, they take a long time to animate. So, by the time they aired, it's not really relevant anymore. But, you know, shows like South Park, they can do it within a week. So they can stay current. You know what I mean? It was still funny, but I really think it lost its way after season 10.
It did. And, you know, again, this is just from what I have personally seen. That's what I speak of. I don't claim to know the whole show. But from what I've seen, I definitely feel like they lost their way. And I hope, you know, if in a few billion years and I catch up and the show's on track, that's great. I hope they did find their way again. But from what I've seen thus far, I definitely feel like they've lost their way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the show is still really good. Like, I haven't gone out of my way to watch Simpsons in probably about 10 years. No, actually, you know what? About 15 years. So I think I stopped watching it week to week around season 13. So pretty much about the time that, around the time that you are. The season that you're on now.
So, I stopped watching it week to week on season 7 or 8. I just lost track of it. Mm-hmm. I still really liked the show, but I lost track of it. And then once they started making the DVD seasons, I owned, I don't now, but I did own up to season 10. And that's where I caught up. And now I, you know, I watch them through streaming and other sources. So that's why I'm up to 13. I did the same thing, just kind of lost out.
But I will say this. I will go out of my way to watch the Treehouse of Horror episodes every year. Like when I hear that they air, I'll go out of my way to, you know, find them online. Or yeah, I will go out of my way for the Treehouse of Horrors because they are my favorite thing about The Simpsons. And it started in season 2 and it's a continued tradition. So, you know,
oh yeah,
I love it. I love them all.
Also, side note, I did enjoy the movie. For what it's worth, I did really like that. I thought the movie was great. I will watch that on occasion.
You know, I have seen the movie, but I can't remember anything that happens in the movie.
You've been busy. You probably haven't seen it, I'd imagine, in about 5-10 years.
It's been a minute. The last time I saw it, I was sitting in the waiting room and my daughter was being born.
So, yeah, it's been a minute.
I was out there talking with my family while she was resting or whatever, and I was out there talking to them, and the Simpsons movie was on. That's probably the last time I actually watched the movie.
Right, maybe treat yourself. Maybe it's time.
It might be. Let's keep on moving. Like I said, I got to repeat this because, like I said, these are not bad shows. Some of these shows didn't really lose their flavor. It's just, the same old, same old. So this one is South Park. I love South Park, but I just, the last couple of seasons, I can't really tell you anything that sticks out. And go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, this is actually probably the only entry on the list where we're different. I actually have liked these later seasons better than all of the rest of the show. I've really liked what they've been doing. I really like the fact that, you know, a lot of the newer seasons have more Randy Marsh stuff, who's my favorite character. So that's probably, it might even be a little bit biased, but well, I like where it's at now.
They've been featuring Randy Marsh for 10 years. I'm talking in the last couple seasons.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I liked it. I like what they're doing. You know, it's really fun. I like where the show is at. I like that it's fewer episodes, but it also helps that South Park, for me, I don't really like the first couple seasons anymore. I don't feel like they've aged well, so I already like the later half of the show a little better anyway.
Season one maybe hasn't aged well. It's nothing but poo-poo and pee-pee jokes, but you know what? It's still fucking funny. It's nostalgic at that. If you got nothing else for it, it's still nostalgic.
No, I never said it was terrible. I just preference-wise, I just like the newer seasons. I'd say from like 7 on up is the stuff I like better.
Well, season 5, come on, man. Scott Tenorman.
Oh yeah, that was I forgot about that one.
Everybody always remembers that episode. Cartman fed that kid's parents to him
And the
in a
show,
chili.
it never got that dark again, though. That is definitely the darkest moment in the entire show.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, dude. He's done some stuff, but they kind of like Cartman tends to get bitched a lot nowadays. But he's never again murdered somebody and fed them their parents. I mean, where do you go from that?
Right. And you
That's
go
pretty
back and
dumb.
you watch like the first season, Carbon was pretty much bullied the entire like first maybe couple seasons. He was just a fucking joke. And then he
Yeah,
became
this is the
kind of
fact.
and then like, you know, the next season, like season I think 3 or 4 starts, and he's like the fucking evil genius. He's the man. You know what I mean?
Say something funny, Wendy. We can't wait.
I'm not funny.
Hey, girls are funny, Wendy, okay? Get over it. Just do women's comedy stuff, you know, talk about how fat you are and how you want to have sex with guys and then say, my vagina, a lot.
I don't feel like being funny right now.
And that's just the kind of sexist bullcrap that's going to keep you in the kitchen. Sit your ass down. This isn't a joke, you guys. Girls are funny.
Oh yeah. He went from being the blob to the kingpin.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but the last couple seasons have just, they've done nothing for me. I think that they're too current. I don't even know if that's a thing. I just think that they're just capitalizing on what's going on in the media. Like, there's no creative writing that goes with it. Like, okay, Kanye West, you know, a gay fish and stuff like that. It's like, ha, okay. He likes fish sticks. It's not very funny to me.
For the other thing with South Park, and I'm sure it goes back to Simpsons a little bit too. It's been running for 20 years now plus, and I think it's kind of at the point where they probably are. They know it's their bread and butter, so they're keeping it running because they like that money. But I think it's got to be hard to be really great when they're probably just like they're, you run out of ideas eventually.
It just feels like they're letting the world write the show for them. Like they're not creating anything themselves. They're just looking on the news and seeing, you know, trending hashtags or whatever and just going, okay, let's fucking write an episode about that.
It's called semi-retirement. That's how you make that easy bank.
Yeah, well, I'm still waiting on my Orgasmo on Blu-ray, so you know.
It's on Blu-ray.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, happy day. But yeah, like I said, you know, not a bad show. It still has its funny moments. I just don't think that they're, how do I put it, creatively invested in it anymore. I just think it's just like a fucking paycheck anymore. It just feels lazy.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. I said, it's not like my favorite show anyway. It's just something I binge the seasons and I usually have fun while I'm watching it, and then I don't think about it again until the next season. So for me, I just have, and I do really enjoy it, and I hope, it doesn't play it down or nothing, but that's just how I do South Park. I'll literally, they'll bring out the 13 episodes, I'll binge them, I'll laugh, I'll have a good time, I'll really enjoy it, and then it's over and I move on.
Get your fix.
Yeah, pretty much. It's exactly what it is. I'll get my fix, I'll have my laugh, and then I'm on,
Right. But I mean, like I said, creative laziness, right? Like you go back to like the first season or the first couple seasons, and you got like alien UFOs probing Cartman, dodgeball tournaments, Satan's Child. I mean, you know, come on. And now it's just everything is just current events. And that's all it is. It's like watching the news in comic form.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel about South Park now. Is it funny? You damn skippy it is. But it's just it feels lazy. That's just all I have to say
There's
about
no
it.
lasting impressions. You don't remember the episodes as well.
Late.
You watch it.
Yep, late Trinity effect. Ding ding. Yep. So we're going to move on from South Park, and we're going to hit a show that came on Fox back in the 2000s. Believe that shit. Called Prison Break.
Hmm. That was a really good show that, if you remember, didn't we watch it by chance? We didn't even watch it when it aired.
Yeah, I randomly was like, okay, I want a new show to watch. And this is before Netflix, this is before Hulu and all that streaming stuff. So I'm in a store, and it's like, Prison Break. Oh, that seems pretty cool. I like prison. You know, I liked Oz. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, Prison Break. They're going to break out of prison. Sweet deal. We watched it by chance. And it blew us away. The first season completely blew us away. And then they're like, yeah, season two is coming. And then we're like, oh, shit. And then season two ended. And you're like, okay. Season three, they're back in prison. The fuck is going on here? In Mexico. What the fuck?
Uh-huh. And season three, at least I understand it hit the writer's strike, which is why it's half, and it's a generic season. But then season four, it was like, and we're now Ocean's prison break guy. We steal shit? Like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're super spies now.
Yeah, it really weird. And, you know, again, you know, we said it before. There was still a lot of good shit in Prison Break. I didn't watch when they brought the show back, so I can't speak on that season. I didn't watch any of it.
I completely forgot they brought it back.
Yeah, they did. I didn't watch it. I never got to it. But season four had some cool moments in it, and season three was pretty forgettable. But honestly, when I look back at the show now, and I really enjoy season one, I cannot praise it enough.
Yeah.
I kind of wish it was a one and done. I enjoyed season one so much, and it was so good. I really wish it would have just kind of ended. You know, it had the cool gimmick with the prison map being the tattoo on his body, and it was really neat. And you know, all these tense moments.
Yeah.
And then when you go back and watch the show, which I did later do, you kind of notice that two and especially three, they're really just recapping what they did in season one with a new skin on it, HD remastered of season one. And, like, I mean, season two, they were on the run. It was like the aftermath of season one. But season three is just season one again. And even in season four, they just took the show in some weird ways. And it just, it never, to me, felt as good as that season one. Because that season one was really, really good. And I kind of
really
wish they'd
have.
Yeah, yeah. And I wish they would have escaped from prison, maybe had a movie where you show all of them, or even in the series, just show them get to their destination, give each character an ending that made it, and kind of move on. Like, I really think a one-and-done, like a TV miniseries, would have been perfect for that show.
I completely disagree with that. I'm going to say that Prison Break should have ended with season one. I agree with that. But I think it should have ended with them running from the prison. You don't know what happens. It's kind of like make up your own adventure. You know, like fan theorying, you know what I mean?
You know, honestly, even that would have been better, because it does end with that great, like, and now we run.
Exactly.
And it ends, and you do kind of leave, even though it's a cliffhanger, you kind of leave amped because of the energy of the scene. So really, even that, I think I'd be okay with that too. I just, like I said, it's not, the other seasons aren't bad. You know, you get to see more Mahone stuff, who I really liked. But it's not the same. It was just never as good. And it was, sadly, for all the actors, because there's a lot of talent in the show, and I don't discredit the actors and whatnot, but it definitely hit its peak with one, which is sad, you know, but it just never was quite as good.
Yeah, I completely agree. Season one, top tier, definitely. And I would say that maybe the first couple episodes of season two, once they split off from their little running group, I don't really care about the other characters. How do I put it? They should have just focused on the brothers, and that was it. I don't really give a fucking shit about dude and his family, other guy trying to get the money. I don't care. Just focus on the brothers, because that's where the story was mainly in season one.
I mean, Teabag was fun.
Teabag, yeah, but then he got his hand cut off and just got weird from there.
He actually ended up on a spinoff, believe it or not, called Breakout Kings. That's to see his resolution, you have to watch an episode of that show. He was in one episode as a spinoff.
It wasn't
a bad show, but that show honestly couldn't make the list too. But the concept got old pretty quick. But that was a cool episode. So,
right. We're gonna say peaked at season one. Watch 2, 3, 4, and I guess. Okay, so let me throw this shit in the spoiler territory. Okay, is Michael, right? I can't remember. Yeah. It's been so long. Michael dies at the end of season four. Okay? So they're going to bring the show back, and now he's back to life. The fuck? That's just lazy writing there, Fox.
I didn't like the fact that they killed him off to begin with.
Yeah,
true. To me, that just felt like, like you said, lazy. It was just kind of like, really, that's... You can't think of a better way to end his character arc than come on. Just dumb. And again, I haven't seen the new season. I don't know if it makes sense. I can't speak on it. But really, my interest in Prison Break, as much as I love season one and I love the show, it's not really that high. I don't know if I'll really ever get to it.
Mm. Well, speaking of characters being brought back, at least this one had a legit reason. Now, we're going to talk about the X-Files. When Mulder goes away, he was abducted by aliens. Okay? So he went away for 2 seasons and he was replaced by the T-1000.
Yes, he was. Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick, yeah. I almost said Robert Douglas. that's why I didn't say anything. I'm like, is it Robert Douglas? No, it's Robert Patrick. So he got replaced and then he came back for the very last season.
He did pop up at 9 here and there. I think he's in like 3 episodes.
No, he came back for a little bit more than that, but I don't. I'm going to say that X-Files peaked at season 6.
Yes, it did.
The super duper fun season.
Dude, you watch the, what was it, 6, then the movie, or was it the movie, then 6? I can't remember the order.
Movie, then 6.
You watch the movie, then season 6. And you're good. Season 6 ends on a good note. Everything's good.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, like 7, was it 9? 7 through 9, 7 was okay. And the season with Robert Patrick, again, it's not bad. The show's still a good show.
Yeah.
And he was fine in it and whatnot. But it's just not really the same. Like, if you watch the show and you watch the end of season 6, mm-hmm. You're kind of like good. Like if it stopped right there, you're like, yeah, I'm good. I got my fix and I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me personally, I like 6 so much. I bought it off Ray here before anything else. I only bought that one season. Yeah. I had just that for a while.
There were a lot of fun episodes. I can't think of one bad episode on that season. So if you're curious about X-Files, yeah, I mean, you could watch season one. You could go through the anthology of it all, or just go right to season 6 and have yourself a party. It's like Twilight Zone on crack.
Plus, you get to skip that awkward 2 seasons of X-File where they cake on makeup the poor Gillian Anderson to make her look older, because so much makeup on her. She looks terrible.
Season 1, she was natural. And then after that, they just started caking on this like clown-looking makeup on her face, the poor baby.
But then you get to season 6 and she's fine again. So even more reason. It's season 6 is so good. And I know Ray's further than I am. When they brought the series back, I watched like 3 or 4 of the episodes of that first season they brought back. And you know, it almost felt like a serious parody of what the show used to be. I don't know, like for some reason, like I really like Mulder and Scully and I really wanted to get back in X-Files, but it just didn't feel the same to me.
Yeah, when they brought it back, they made a few mentions to previous seasons, but they kind of neglected it too. Like, you remember how season 9 ended, they had all the alien information and they knew that they were going to spread the virus and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
They don't go back to that. You know, the smoking man is alive. The smoking man is fine.
Which is a damn shame.
Which is, he was left for fucking dead.
Left for dead. That man, spoiler alert, had the best goddamn death on screen. When he catches, when he blows up with that fucking missile or whatever it is, and you see the fire button, that was cool as shit.
Right.
That was cool. And then when I watched, I think I even saw the one episode, like, yeah, he's fine. He's all
right. Right. But, see, they didn't have to. I mean, it's like I said, man, some of these shows that we have on this list are just money-making machines, man. You know, Simpsons, Walking Dead, South Park, it's just money, money, money. We get it.
They're big brands, man. There's a reason all these shows have all that merch. And for me, with X-Files, it really should have just ended with Mulder and Scully, because they've always had that thing. They should have hooked up, which they may have by that point, I can't remember, and just wanted the sunset forever chasing random cases and shit. And that would have been a much better way than where they went. At least for me, that's what I want. I just wanted to see them, because he always had a thing, and Mulder's Mulder. He'll never stop that, like, hunt for the truth.
Yeah.
I just liked him and her to go off into the sunset, and you just, you know, in our heads, he's just out there doing cases forever and ever and ever.
Yeah. But instead, they thought that Gillian Anderson could carry the show by herself, and then they brought in Robert Patrick. They didn't have to do that. You know, like you said, it was fine. It was fine the way it was. Everything was hunky-dory. We could just end this here, and it would make sense. The fans would have been satisfied, but money. So we're going to keep going. And we're going to fucking dilute the great story that we already had, and we're just going to throw in a bunch of, you know, just random nonsense that just pollutes the show to the point where we're just going to end it. Oh, but, you know, we fucked up so bad that, oh, we got to bring back David Duchovny. David Duchovny will save the show. Everybody loves Mulder. That'll bring people back. But it didn't. So then they ended it. But then, you know, what, 20 years later? No, not 20 years. Maybe about, what, close to 20 years later, I'll say. They brought it back.
Yeah, and it was way, it just.
No. The new season was good. Here's the problem with the new season. Season 10 and 11. It's too millennial for me.
Ugh.
It does not feel like the X-Files of old. It takes itself way too seriously. And I think that kills the vibe. You know, like, there's not much fun to be had. There were a couple fun episodes. I will give it that. But it's not what it used to be. And you can kind of tell, you know? I'm sure that the love that Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny have for these characters, because it essentially made them. Okay? And the love is there for the characters. You can feel it. But the... Maybe we just got older. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we've moved on to other shows. It just doesn't feel the same to me.
Really? They obviously had issues from the get-go, because before they brought the series back, they had that pretty boring-ass second movie. Not a lot of fun to be had in that dreary train wreck either.
Nothing really happens in that movie. And they don't even bring it up in the newer season. Like, there's no mention of it.
Yeah, it's a movie. Literally, I think it was just like, we're making this movie so people will remember to buy the merchandise, because nothing of any relevance happens in the movie. Like, you ask most people, hey, what's that second movie about? I don't know, boredom and snow?
But
that
you,
cool elevator death? I mean, that's really it.
But what's cool about the first X-Files movie is that it bridged seasons 5 and 6. It actually set up season 6. So you got to go, you know, watch season 3, 4, 5, movie 6, and then go on. And then it can end right there. That's the peak. But, yeah, so just watch the movie and then season 6, and then you can cut it off if you want.
It was a damn – I liked the first movie. Was damn good. It felt like a super episode of the show.
Yeah, it was really cool. I really dug that movie. I saw it in theaters, matter of fact.
As did I. And I saw the movie before I was even into the show. I'd only seen a few random episodes, and then
really?
I actually went and watched this. Yeah, and I still enjoyed it. I still thought it was cool.
Hmm. God, I've been watching the show since pretty much, I came in at season 1, like episode, like, I want to say it was like halfway through. And then they would show reruns. So I got it, not in order, but I got the gist. And then years later, I'd get the DVDs, and then I'd get it all together.
I just watched a few randoms here and there at best before I saw the movie. And I don't even – maybe 2 or 3. Like, it was just one. I'd catch it here and there.
Right. But when it ended, right, season nine, it ended and I'm just like, oh, thank God. That's it. No more. Like, we've had a good ride. Let's just cut it. Done. I love X-Files. X-Files and, you know, Stargate and Married with Children and, you know, Tales from the Crypt. You know, these are all my favorite shows, like, ever. And they always compete for first place. So they're pretty much just like a tie.
That's how I look at it. A lot of the favorite shows I have, it's all the same. And they're all a little different. So it's hard to say which one's a little better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll get an episode about that.
Yeah, maybe. Looking down the line, maybe next year. So let's move on to another one. 24. So do you think that it should have ended sooner, or do you think it was okay as it was?
I think it should have ended probably five, maybe. Because season six is freaking terrible. Actually, you know what? No. Season four. The season four dealt with the best villain they ever had, Habib Marwan.
Yeah, the Mummy.
With a name like that, and I can remember the name, mm-hmm. that guy, he was so good in that show. And if you really watch it, Jack basically beats him by coincidence. He never outsmarted him. He was a one step ahead.
Yeah, that's true.
Every single bit of the way. And when that season ends, that was a damn good season, and it was a good ending spot, because I'm pretty sure, from what I remember, everything was basically resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And five was a good season. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't as good as four. And season six was hit during the writer's strike, and season six was freaking terrible.
Season six was essentially Jack addicted to heroin. Was it heroin? Yeah, it was heroin, or he was recovering from heroin.
Yeah, and everybody's calling him a piece of shit.
Right, because he went deep undercover, and then that season ends with him getting kidnapped by the fucking Chinese. Like, season six is nothing but kick the shit out of Jack Bauer Hour. That's exactly what it was.
And then you get the Redemption movie, if I'm remembering the order correctly, and then you have season seven and eight.
I did like season seven, though.
It was good. But it wasn't as good as four, and it was kind of like you watch it and move on. Like, nothing really stood out. Like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't above the call. Like, it never got better than four. And then the new one, people can hate me all they want. I don't even watch it. I watched 24 for Jack Bauer. He was the drawing force to me. Mm-hmm. So once he's gone, I don't care about this other guy. I don't tune in for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't caught up on it, but I did finish 24, you know, all the whole series, the movies, but I haven't watched this, you know, remake or whatever the hell you want to call it.
It's called 24 Legacy. I haven't watched, and it might be good, you know, and maybe I'm a bastard for not giving it a chance. And it has nothing to do with the fact that the main character's black. It's not a PC reason. It's just not Jack Bauer.
Somebody better call PC Principal.
Yeah, basically that's what it is. So, you know, none of our audience can get offended. It has nothing to do with anything stupid. It's just I watched 24 for Jack Bauer. Yeah, it's not the same.
It's the Jack Bauer Power Hour.
I have killed two people since midnight. I have not slept for over 24 hours. So maybe you should be a little more afraid of me than you are right now.
Exactly. You know, It's just not the same without him. He brought everything together. I mean, Chloe was cool, and there was a few other. Tony was cool from the earlier seasons, even though his character went in a weird way. But they just, it's just one of those shows you just can't watch it without him. It just, there is none without him.
Yep, you got a point. So what's your cutoff for 24 season four?
For me, I would say four. I mean, five is good, and seven and eight are good seasons as well. They're good seasons. It is a good show.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the peak was four. It never got better than four.
Yeah, I can totally agree with that, because when I watched them, I was borrowing them off of you, and I remember getting one season, taking it back to you. Need the next one? Okay, did it? Then just repeat process. So I blew through that show within a month, I want to say. So I got it done.
Yeah,
I'm gonna completely agree with you on season four being the best, you know, season. One was really good. I liked one. It's a good introduction to the show. Like, this is what you're in for. Season two, up the level. Season three, I love you. And then, because they actually, something actually happens in season three. Like, a nuke actually goes, like, it's like a small nuke, and it takes out a couple city blocks. But something actually happens.
Yeah, he actually doesn't stop it. Like, you don't, at the time, that's what the thing must have done, so you didn't even see it coming. You're just like, yeah. Okay, and they'll stop. Oh, they did not stop it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a small, like, mini nuke or whatever the hell it was, but it took out a couple city blocks or, you know, whatever it was.
And a main character.
Yeah.
I won't say who. Watch the show.
Well, it's been over for, like, 15-something years, man. You could.
Yeah, but now they have a reason. Like, now they get like, oh shit, who mm-hmm. what character's gone? I don't know. Now they gotta go watch the show. So if I don't tell them, they'll go watch it.
And just so our listeners know, it's on Amazon Prime. There you go. So go subscribe to Amazon Prime. So let's move on from 24. Because we both agreed season 4 is the pinnacle.
Right, yeah, it ain't getting
better than four. I personally, season three was my favorite season, but season four is yours. Cool, because they were both really, really excellent.
Oh, so, yeah. It's all, you're all good. Watch the four, treat yourself. And if you really like it, there is more, but it doesn't get any better than the first four.
Indeed. So let's go on and talk about Dexter. Now, Dexter was an amazing show. The first couple seasons were, but then you kind of pick up a pattern, don't you?
It's that Buffy thing, man. It's,
you know what pattern I'm talking about, don't you?
Oh yeah, explain it to these people because I know exactly what you're gonna say. It's that fucking formula.
Okay, so you watch season one, okay, you know, of Dexter, and it's so good, and then you go to season two, and it's so good. You go to season three. And it is so good. But then you're starting to go, well, season four is going to be just as good. You're right. It is. Why? Because they repeated the same fucking formula every single year. Okay? Dexter finds a serial killer that matches wits with him every single season.
Yeah.
And rinse and repeat because it's the same shit. It'll fuck with his family. It'll fuck with his kids. It'll fuck with his girl. It'll whatever. It's the same shit every single season. And the ending, spoiler alert, falls flat on its fucking face. But I still love the show.
Yeah, it really does. And on top of that, so it gets very formulaic.
Very.
The ending is very weak. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, at least for me, Dexter kind of loses his edge as you go along, too. I
hated that they made him more human.
Yeah, I think everybody I know, and I know a lot of people that have watched every season several times, everybody hates the fact that he got a little human, a little bit more, a little timid, because it kind of took away what you really liked, what made it really cool.
Yeah, just like the Stone Cold Killer fitting into society by acting normal. Like, that was just awesome. And then they started making him more human. And you're just like, I'm not going to say I can't relate to the character because, you know, I'm not a fucking Stone Cold Killer. But, I mean, that was the, like Sean said, it's like the cool thing that he had about him. And then they started losing it.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't mind with, you know, with the girl and the kids. Because that I kind of got, you know, he's around them all the time.
That was a ruse, man. That was just to show that he was normal.
I got that if anywhere he would get a little softer for them, to some degree.
He shouldn't have got softer for any of them.
But for everybody, especially everybody else, it just made no sense that he went that way. It just, I don't know. It just kind of took the edge off, and I hear they're bringing it back, but I kind of hope they don't.
I really hope they don't. I mean, he said he's up for the role, but I really hope that he just doesn't.
You know, he's up for the role, and you know, I hate to be mean because I do like the actor, but what has he got? He's up for the role because he wants to work. He wants money.
True story. Got paid for them cancer treatments.
Hey, yeah, if I'm wrong.
Sorry, Michael Steele Hall.
What has he been in since Gamer? Yeah, Batman, Gods and Monsters as a voice and gamer. What has he done other than that since Dexter?
Nothing that I can think of off the top of my head.
I mean, I'm sure he has, but nothing that anybody can remember. I can't think of it.
But, yeah, I mean, they'll never top that first season. The Ice Truck Killer, awesome.
Yeah.
That shit was awesome. And then, you know, the Ice Truck Killer wrote him that note that says, you know, do you want to play? And he looked at the note and you saw, like, this look on his face. And it's like, yeah, I really do, you know. But then the next season, there's a serial killer. And the next season, there's a serial killer. And the quality of serial killers just keeps going down and down and down to the point where it's just laughable.
I like the Trinity one. I thought Ice Truck and Trinity were the best of that show. Because that guy had a cool. I liked the like where he came from. That he was like almost a bigger killer than Dexter. Because I kind of got that vibe. Like Dexter sort of idolized him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that made for an interesting like add-on, like an interesting dynamic for the character. But other than him, which I mean, even he still followed the pattern of the serial killer, matching wits, roll with it. It just got weaker after those seasons, and I don't know, it just never recovered, and I really just, if they're going to go down that road even more, I think we're good. Like, there's no need to bring that show back. Save the money, do something else.
I like season two. I'm going to say that it peaked after season two. I like the fact that Diggs was, onto him, and then he figured out who he was, and then he got offed.
We'll all have surprise motherfucker forever.
Yeah, surprise motherfucker. I'm gonna play the sound clip right now.
Surprise motherfucker.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed that. So we got that, and so yeah, I'm just gonna say that it peaked at season two, because after that, it's just rinse and repeat for the rest of the fucking show.
It is. After that, it was like a few kills away from being CSI, just by the numbers. Not a bad show, but just by the numbers over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, good show. I mean, if you dig the character and you want the same season over and over and over, it's like listening to Iron Maiden. You know, you're going to get quality every album, but it's pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's all going to sound the same. That's cool. So, yeah, I think it's just going to do it for Dexter.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much bad to say about it. Like, Dexter just got good, and then it just got put on repeat, and that's it.
But that first season, I could watch the first season right now and be completely happy.
And yeah. If you've never seen it, like, if you haven't watched Dexter, I feel like it's even better, because it is really good. Mm-hmm. When you see it that first time. It's all good.
I've been through the series twice, and that first season's still the best.
Mm-hmm. I can agree.
Oh, and spoiler alert, if anybody even fucking cares, when Deb finds out that he's the killer, it kills the show. I think that's when the bullet went into the head of the show. I hated the show after that. I'm just like, I'm going to watch it to get through it, but I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, it just everything after that. It kind of felt like that's where they wanted to end it. Because once all that stuff goes down, then you're just finishing everything off, and it just got weird and stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they were just killing off cast members just to kill off cast members, and yeah. So that's going to wrap it up for Dexter. I mean, it's a good show. Go watch it. Party on, Wayne. That's about it. So let's move on to Family Guy. Let's talk about Family Guy, right? It's been on since, what, 2000? Or 99.
Because remember, it's got canceled and brought back like 4, 5, 10,000 times.
Yeah, true story. I don't even know what season they're on anymore, but I know it's
still running.
It is still running.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't seen a new episode in like 2-3 years.
Go on Hulu. It's on there. I just, it's kind of like the South Park thing. It just kind of lost its flavor.
Well, it doesn't help that, and I had this conversation with somebody else not long ago. Unfortunately, Seth MacFarlane, he has a not great writing style. he will find this joke, and it'll be a really good joke, but then he will smash it into the goddamn ground. You will see, hear that same joke over and over and over.
Giggity.
Like when you watched Stewie go gay, it was really funny. He had the woman trouble, and he realized he's like, you know, I just want to hang out with a friend all the time. Like, can't you just do that? And Brian's like, yeah, it's called being gay. And he's like, oh, is that what that is?
Mm.
And after that, he just goes gay, which was funny, and it was really good for a while. And then it's just the same joke over and over. Gay baby, gay dog. And it's that same joke over and over and over and over and over. And, you know, goddamn, by the time you get to, what is it, 10, 12, whatever season, and you're just like, yeah, I get it. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost becomes like his defining characteristic that Stewie's gay. And that's it. That's all there is to it. And he does that with a lot of his jokes. He'll get one thing. And even in the movies, you watch any of his movies, it's the same beats. It's the relationship jokes. It's the gay thing. And that's all he's got. And he'll do the joke, and that's it.
And cutaways.
And the random cutaways actually at some point almost become like the saving grace of the show, because other than that, you're just going through the same checklist of jokes.
Right, but I think they've lost the cutaways have lost their zing. You know, I think it's all pretty much been done now. So, you know, when Family Guy came back in season 3, it got brought back from cancellation, and they were really pushing the envelope, you know, just saying, fuck you, Fox, this is why we're here. We're going to do whatever we want, you know, because we have the viewers behind us. We have the power, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to do whatever we want. And they were really, really pushing it. And I thought that's when the jokes were at their best.
I think that was like probably season 6 or 7, because it was after they came back. So it was after the first 4.
No, they got canceled. They got canceled after season 2, and then they came back. And then they did, 3? And I think they got canceled again?
They did a bunch. They make a couple of jokes in the show about it, but I think for me, where the show, I think right around the time that the Star Wars trilogy came out, like, that was kind of like their best shit. They're like, last hurrah, and then they're just kind of like, There was a few laughs, but for me, that was it. Like, after that trilogy, that was good.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a couple good episodes here and there in the last couple seasons, but for me, I mean, honestly, they could have ended it at like season 13. I'll say season 13. That's a good long run, but now I just feel like it's printing money, man. It's just, that's all it is. It's just, there's love in it, sure, but it's not what it used to be.
Yeah, that's very much it. There's still fun there, but they could end it at any moment. I'm not losing any sleep over it. I like I said, I didn't even know it was still running. I don't even watch it when it's on.
Mm-hmm. It's still running. So I'm going to say 13. You can, you know, cut it off and go back to season 1 and start over. Like I said, man, there's just not very many memorable episodes. Sad to say. I remember when they went to Japan, Japanimation or whatever it was. They got obsessed with that. That was funny. Quagmire on the soap opera. That was pretty funny. But other than that, I can't remember too many episodes where it was just like, you know, like it used to be. And I'm not even sure that it's even a nostalgia kick, you know, because how many times have you been through the first, like, you know, 6 seasons over and over and over? A lot. Because, you know, back in the day, that's, you know, all we had. We go through and just, you know, they used to air them on Cartoon Network and shit just over and over and over. So,
yeah, I think it's just one of those things. Like, you get your fill and then you're ready to move on.
I mean, yeah, Family Guy is actually a show that I'll put on when I'm trying to go to sleep. Like, when I lay in bed at night and it's a fuck it show, whatever. Whether I stay awake or I don't. I mean, I'm not going to put on, you know, Walking Dead or Prison Break or something that, you know, that has story to it, if you want to call it that, for Prison Break season 3 and 4. So I'll just put it on because it's just a fuck it show. It's a goddamn cartoon. So, you know. There's
a couple of these in a Walking Dead that are pretty good fucking show.
Only season 2, man. It's okay to sleep through it.
Oh, there's a episode in season was it three or four, whenever they had that viral outbreak in the prison, I hate that whole episode. I fucked that
four.
Episode.
Season four.
I didn't even. I think that was the very episode where I'm like, I'm done with this show. And it took me a long time to catch up.
It took Jeffrey Dean Morgan to get him back. So Family Guy, yeah, I'd say season 13, good cutoff. If you want the best of Family Guy, I'd say 13. There you go. So let's move on. We got a couple more here. Heroes. It started so goddamn good.
Yes, it does.
And
it's still good. I think it's.
What do you
still...
mean? Whoa! What do you mean it's still good? What do you mean?
No! Season one, like it had aged great.
I thought you meant that shit was still running. I'm like, whoa.
No, Heroes Reborn came, failed, died. Had some really cool ideas, but way too late, too lazy. Yeah.
Was that a cartoon?
If there was, I didn't watch it.
I could have sworn I remember hearing something about a Heroes cartoon, like they wanted to bring it back in like an animation form or something.
I mean, that if done right, it could potentially work, but I think it's done.
I don't even know if it's legit. I could have been half asleep when I remember reading something about it. So yeah, season one, epic. Loved it. Loved every minute of it. You know, chase the cheerleader or save the cheerleader. Loved it. Siler, excellent character writing. Season two, I like the new characters that they introduced. Season three, see, that's the problem right there.
Half of
season three was really good, and then the other half, writer's strike.
They have these themes in Heroes. They have these arcs, and I can't remember the name because it was in the box set. They have names like Villains Rising or crap like that, but. Mm-hmm. In Heroes Season 3, you'll get to this part where they resolve Siler, and the story goes from being called something to something else. And as soon as that like page turns, you know how they did the animation when they're moving on to like the next thing?
Yeah.
As soon as he's done, sadly the show's done. Like the last half of 3 and 4 of Season 3 and the rest of 4, there's some okay bits there, but it's never as good, and it's just the writer's strike really derailed what was such an amazing show at the time. It was so good.
Yeah.
And then once that strike happens, the one season gets real weak, and unfortunately it just never recovered. It was never as good again, and it just, even when they brought it back, the new character they added, the Asian girl who had like video game powers, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was really weird, but yeah, I got you.
It was cool. I did not like the fact that every fucking thing she said was subtitled, because that's a bucket of fun, and they were all over the screen. They weren't even in the bottom.
So was Hero.
Yeah, but his was on the bottom. You could read it. Hers was fast, and it would be everywhere. It would be on the left and right of the screen.
Oh, really?
I actually found that kind of annoying. Yeah, because nobody remembers Heroes Reborn.
Oh, but, yeah, good point.
It's a shame the show went the way it did. The first 2.5 seasons, so good, and you could still watch all of that as a solid chunk of entertainment and have a good time.
Right.
And then they killed Siler, and he took the show with him.
Yeah, pretty much. That guy was the saving grace of it. Season one, let's go back to that. Season one, you got Siler chasing down the cheerleader because he wants to become immortal, right? Because he'll get her, you know, he would cut their heads open and essentially take their power. And he needed the cheerleader because she had healing abilities, so he could never age, you know, and he would just live forever.
Basically making him Wolverine.
Essentially, yes. But then they had that other character. I can't remember his name, but he was like the star of pretty much the star of the show.
Peter Petrelli.
Yeah, Peter Petrelli, whatever his name was. Was it Peter?
Yeah.
I thought Peter was the brother.
Was Peter the
one that could fly? One that could fly.
Was the other one Nathan?
Ah, yeah.
No, Nathan was the brother. Nathan was the brother. Peter was the one with the... Peter was Neo for a bit.
Yeah, gotcha. So you got Peter Petrelli, who could... And it was really cool what they did. If he... What did he make contact with you? If he touched you, he could absorb... He could collect your power. And that was really cool, because then by the time that the end fight of season one happens between Siler, who could get people's powers by cutting their heads open, and Peter could do it by touching. Each of them had their own like set of powers, and it was really awesome, like this big epic showdown. Really
until
cool.
Until they broke Peter, and then he could only have one power. He could have whoever the last person he touched his powers.
Yeah.
He could have one at a time.
I hated the fact that they nerfed such a great character. I hated it. Absolutely.
But his brother at the time had the coolest flying I'd ever seen in a TV series.
Oh, yeah.
He flew like Neo.
The sonic boom out of his feet, essentially.
I thought that was neat. And as far as I remember, before that show, nobody flew like that.
Right.
Like, you watched old Superman, it was slow
up,
and cheesy.
Yeah, it's up, up, and away. It's just floating. It's, you know, Christopher Reeve style.
He fucking, it would just shoot, just, it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of cool powers in that show, too. You know, the story was epic. The writing was really good. I mean,
if you want to own a Nissan Versa, I still do.
Nissan Versa. Love it. I'll never own one because that damn thing is so damn small, but, so I'm going to say that it peaked at season one. You could watch season one by itself and it would be fine. You could watch season two and three and four if you really wanted to.
Well, if you watch two, you have to go all the way to the half of season three, because that all is one big story. And then the other half of three and four is the garbage fire that's left.
Right. And season four, the ending of Heroes, it falls flat on its face. Same as Dexter, you know, just real flat ending.
I don't even remember it. Honestly, after that halfway mark of that, season three,
it was
where the arc ends.
That whole circus thing.
The
whole thing, yeah, it was just stupid. I'm not going to spoil it. If you want to soldier through two, three, and four, by all means, go ahead and do it. But me, I could watch season one and be good.
Does make you wonder what would have been without that writer strike, though, because that show was on a great roll.
I think it might still be on today.
You know,
I'm not even kidding.
I think that show was written by Tom King.
No. Comic writer Tom King?
I'm pretty sure his name was something King. I think I want to say it was. It might be the same guy.
Oh, off topic, though. I was watching Underworld today. I was showing the kid Underworld. Anyway, so at the end credits, it says Danny McBride wrote it. I said, fucking comedian Danny McBride? And then, no, it's another Danny McBride. I know it's off topic, but I thought it was funny. Fun to mention.
That actually answers my question about Halloween that was also written by that.
That was actually written by comedian Danny McBride.
What a weird time we live in.
Amen.
Well, there's some bonus facts for the audience.
Yeah. Sorry to go off topic on you guys, but when shit pops in our heads, it comes out our mouths, and better our mouths than our ass. Speaking of ass, though, let's move on from Heroes and talk about Arrow. Yeah, that's ass. The first couple seasons, man, were A-OK, okie dokie.
The first two seasons. You watch season two, and you take in all of that fantastic Deathstroke-y goodness.
I actually
then
like
after
the
season two, mm-hmm. you get some fun stuff in early season three, and then Warner Brothers started pumping out those movies. So then they started carving up slowly but surely all the fun bits of Arrow, taking out the Suicide Squad, can't use them anymore, mm-hmm. a few other things, and then it just becomes a soap opera.
Well, I mean, it's always been a drama, but they took all the fun out of it. Like, okay, what was it? Warner Brothers or DC said, okay, well, we're doing this movie with Suicide Squad. So, like Sean said, you can't use Suicide Squad anymore. But can we use Deadshot? No. Okay.
And their characters in the show were easily some of the best shit CW's ever done. Their version of Suicide Squad in the show was really fun. I actually liked the TV version of Deadshot a little bit more than Will Smith. Like, Will Smith was fine as Deadshot. He was good and he was fun and whatnot. But the TV show actually was a genuine character, and he was written really well. And then thanks to the movie, they ended his character.
Very sympathetic. Not like, yeah. Oh, I just want to get with my daughter. He wanted to make his life right by killing people. I don't know how that works, but, you know, you felt for the guy. You know,
yeah, he was really cool. And I like the eye thing. The eye thing was neat.
Yeah.
So that definitely was a loss to the show right there.
So Arrow, I enjoyed, like you said, the first two seasons. Yeah, I really enjoyed those. So you watch season one where he's like a real like vigilante killing people. Okay. That was another question I had. How are they supposed to make a sympathetic character that was killing all these people? Like, he's like a mass murderer.
Punisher. They were, the people he does kill, they were all like drug dealers. They were all like bad people.
They were just businessmen for the most part.
Who were corrupt. Business people are the worst people.
I'm just saying. But, you know, and then season two, he's like trying not to kill people, right? Is that when he said, I don't want to kill people anymore?
He had to be better once his friend died. Because his friend thought of him as a murderer. So right after, whenever that was.
Oh, yeah, Harry Osborn or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
he had
you.
To do better.
But then you get the epic fight with Deathstroke and all his super goons at the end of season two. And that was really, really cool.
Before that, Menno Bennett, I believe his name is, the actor who I'd never seen before then, he's awesome. And every scene he's in is really good. He really delivers. He really brings out the character really, really well. And he actually popped up in a few movies and other TV shows. He's a really cool actor, the stuff he does. He likes to do fun stuff. And he was really good. And then they did the movie shit, and he's not allowed to be there. And that's why they brought him back for an episode, and he gets bitched. And right. Then you see him later on, when you do see Deathstroke, at least where I'm at in Arrow, he wears a mask, gets beat incredibly easy, and he doesn't speak.
Was that the Invaders episode or whatever it was, the alien?
Yeah, that's when he shows up, and you notice he doesn't take the mask off, because it obviously isn't the actor, it's just whoever.
Right, yeah.
And I'm sure you remember the dumbass episode, season three episode, where they go to the island where Deathstroke is, and the guy who took an entire season to beat, the chick just kicks his ass and they throw him back in the cell like it's nothing. He's just a fucking joke.
Yeah, I remember that. He eventually lets him out in later seasons. Make you feel any better? So here's my thing. The flashbacks, man. The flashbacks gotta fucking go. I haven't been watching the last maybe season and a half. The flashbacks gotta go, man. How far can you stretch that?
Five years. He's on the island 5 years. That's it. He says it. I've been in there. I spent 5 years in hell. And right. According to fucking CW, in 5 years, a motherfucker became James Bond, did all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I know. And he's out in Hong Kong and Russia and, you know, joining the mafia and all kinds of crazy shit. I'm just like, you were on an island, dog. You even said so. Like in the opening of the show.
it gets...
You didn't say I spent 5 years on an island, Hong Kong, Russia, you know.
Hong Kong's a big island. That's what it is.
Sure. Sure, why not?
It just gets silly after a while. It was like, come on.
And they had to find a way to incorporate Constantine in there.
Bring him in for a prequel, a flashback episode, and he's not even in the future where he would have been 100% relevant to what was going on.
Right. Just... Arrow was really just weaned down. Like, it was really cool and strong when it first started. Now it's just like, I'll watch it.
That's because it feels like the love and creative team went on to Flash, and they're like, okay, just have the interns go ahead and just finish up Arrow.
Yeah, because people are going to tune in because, you know, the first couple seasons were good. They're programmed, you know.
Yeah, they're going to go through. Which, the one good thing I'll say about, I think it's season four, is Damian Dark was really good, mm-hmm. but he's not on screen enough, and he's the only good part of the arc. like everything else about that season, when he's not on screen, it's almost like Purple Man and Jessica Jones. You just don't care. It's there, but who cares?
He's on screen a lot more in Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I know he won under there.
But he's more of a fucking comedy act than a serious threat. I mean, he's still threat. He's still a threat, but he's more, I don't know, comedy.
Well, it doesn't help that DC Legends of Tomorrow, though it does have cool moments, and the guy that played Firestorm, the black guy, was really fucking good. But sadly, Legends of Tomorrow is DC's dumping ground for their other main shows. When they don't know what to do with the character, but it's just popular enough that you can't let it go, it goes to DC's Legends of Tomorrow. We in the biz call it the bargain bin. It's where the $3 for $1 comics live. That show is the living embodiment. Yeah. Why do you think the Adam's in there? Yeah, ain't nobody collecting that shit. To the bargain bin.
Yeah, once Captain Cold left, I was kind of like, well, he died, technically.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, it was kind of the whole reason I was watching this show. You know, I'm not tuning it in for Animal Chick and, you know, just stupid characters.
Vixen.
Yeah.
Vixen, who's so good they introduced in an animated series.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's an okay show. If there's nothing else on and it's on TV and you don't have control of the controller, fuck it. Just watch it. But I'm not going out of my way to watch Legends anymore. Sorry.
Plus, Hawkgirl sucks. I hate it. In season one alone, her entire arc. Everything.
It's something about
that.
Her face. Something about her face makes me want to punch infant children. I don't know what it is, but it's just something about her face.
Yeah, and not to mention, it has to remind you every 10 fucking minutes that the what was her name, Sarah, was with the League of Assassins.
Oh, yeah.
She will tell you. every time, like, oh, you're having tea? We used to have deadly tea in the League of Assassins. Oh, is that a ham sandwich? We're the best ham sandwiches in the League of Assassins. And her character is shit to begin with. So, I mean, I guess technically you could throw that show on this list, except for it never fucking peaked. It's got some cool moments here and there, but it's so mediocre. That show is just the living embodiment of the bargain bin.
Yeah, and I don't like the fact that Rip, I mean, I like Rip Hunter. I liked him in, you know, the comics, you know, in the Booster Gold comics, sure. But they don't have Booster Gold in this show. This would have been a perfect, not for Rip Hunter, for Booster Gold, this would have been a perfect opportunity. This would have been his kind of show.
That would have been cool. Unfortunately for me, other than Captain Cold, who I loved, really, I thought Firestorm, I kind of felt bad for that guy because he was so good. Like, he was a really well-written character, at least from season one I've only seen. And he's unfortunately stuck on that show. I kind of wish he would have made it to, like, Flash or something. So he got some love. Instead, he's on that show that's very...
So maybe it's not just Arrow. Maybe we can rope the whole CW verse into this, like, you know, Flash. Like, Flash has gotten a little weak too, not to the levels of Arrow or Legends of Tomorrow, but it's getting there. It's maybe about one or two seasons off from being in that same pit.
And Supergirl started in that pit. It's just a PC dumpster.
I didn't even want to mention Supergirl. That should have been ended at episode one.
Supergirl's good if you've ever wanted just a gender-bent Superman, because even though he's in the show, every arc they have, every major story they've done is just a retelling of a Superman story. They don't even give a shit about their lore.
Yeah, they did the Alan Moore story, didn't they?
Unfortunately.
The one with Mongol, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think they just used the plant. I don't even remember.
Oh, really? See, I didn't watch Supergirl because, you know, I'm not a Supergirl fan. It's not even a sexist thing. It's just not my...
It wouldn't matter. There's no Supergirl myth. All her villains and characters and things that happened to her, like the sweet-ass Red Daughter of Krypton storyline, none of that matters. It doesn't. It's just Superman shit.
Although I will give this to Supergirl. I will give it one thing. Martian Manhunter looks great. I will give it that.
But you have to pay the piper because Red Tornado looks fucking stupid. And I'm not a big fan of his. He just looks silly.
Yeah, but Manhunter looks really good.
Yeah, and he's actually a really good character too. He's written really well. Unfortunately, the Manhunter side is weakened because obviously Supergirl has to be the star,
of course,
and that's the very problem with the show. Is, you know, and you can, you know, call it what you will. I like Supergirl and I like the character fine, and she should be strong and all this thing, but they have to constantly point out that Supergirl is the greatest thing that ever existed. Like, Superman's a bitch compared to her. Mm. Martian Manhunter's a fucking joke compared to her. Like, there's just nobody on her level, at least hero-wise. And I think that hurts. It really hurts the show. Like, you introduce Martian Manhunter, but he's so kind of weak. Like, it's just like a joke. And it just does that character discredit. Like, I honestly believe you could tell the story of Supergirl being a strong, powerful female character, and that's fine and just and good, without degrading these other characters. And I just think that's something that the PC agenda crap behind the scenes, it's what really hurts that show. It's the biggest thing. Because the actor's good. You see Supergirl in the crossovers, and especially when she's like the lighthearted side, you're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch her show, and you're just like, not like that.
I mean, I just have no interest in Supergirl. It's just not me. I don't know.
Oh, there's nothing. I'm telling you, there's nothing. The only people I know that enjoy that show are young women.
And I think that was the point. I think that's why they didn't want to do a Superman show. Well, why didn't they do Wonder Girl? Why didn't they do one with what's her name? Diana. Ah, shit. You know
Troy?
What I'm talking about. Yeah.
Honestly, I just don't know why they didn't just, you know, do Supergirl, right? But actually use Supergirl's stories. She's got a lot of good stories. You know, I can't think of them offhand on the spot, but I'm not a big fan of hers, but I've read some of her shit, and she's got some good stuff. It's just weird to just go for this gender bent thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, she even works at, like, basically a reporter thing. She even has the geeky, almost Clark Kent-like persona when she's not Supergirl. It's just, they just did it in a weird way.
Yeah, well.
But we're not even, I've already spent too much time on that show. Okay. Let's move on to the next entry that is probably better than Supergirl.
Oh, it is. It's probably my favorite show of all time. Hands down. That would be Stargate SG-1. I think...
Let me take a shot in the dark before you get into it.
All right,
because I just got to do it.
Yeah.
Season 8, peak.
Yep. You know it. Where it ends and they're all fishing and having a good time and relaxing for the first time pretty much ever, it could have ended right there. I'd have been happy with that. We didn't have to go into the Ori. I'm glad we did. Sure, it was good. It was good. It was good.
The reason I pointed out before letting him make his case is because we think so much alike on this particular show. It is one of the greatest shows ever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've watched the show, anybody listening to me right now, if you watch the show and you think of season 8, that last episode, it is the most probably perfect ending in TV history. Like, that's how you would end the show. It is so good. And, I hate to take away from seasons 9 and 10 because the Ori were really cool and there was plenty of cool moments in there for sure.
I didn't like that we got our ass kicked all the time. Well, I mean, we were always getting our ass kicked. No, we were always getting our ass kicked, but we finally got like a space fleet. You know, we were doing some good shit in the universe and then the Ori and it's just like, nah, fuck all your progress.
Hallowed be the Ori. And it's, I mean, like that stuff, the Ori stuff is cool and the two TV movies were really cool, but that season 8, it's so hard to ignore. Because, you know, one of the best characters of the show, if not the best character in the show, leaves. He gets a more minor role. He takes a back seat.
O'Neill.
And, yeah, when O'Neill leaves, which is in 9, it's not the same. And 8, all of your favorites are there at this perfect, it's just so good. It was such a wonderfully written episode.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect ending to the show. It just kind of lessens what follows because it's just like, you could have just stopped. We were so good.
I didn't mind the guy that replaced O'Neill. It just wasn't no, the first game.
Ben Browder or something like that. Bauer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
He wasn't bad. I mean, he is more or less just this Farscape character. He was very close to that. Maybe a little less fun than the Farscape version.
Well, they also got the other girl from Farscape, didn't they?
Yes, but she's awesome in everything. Claudia Black.
Yeah.
She is Chloe from Uncharted as well. She's awesome in everything. She was a little cooler in Farscape because she was a super badass. And she was not a super badass in Stargate. She was a cool thief, but not super badass. But yeah,
she was always getting into trouble, always getting caught, always.
Yeah, I mean, she was fun. And this is one of the weirdest entries on the list because what follows, there is still a lot of good shit. What follows?
Yeah,
it really is better than probably all the other shows we talked about when it comes to after the peak type stuff. And this one, it's really good. But you end the show on season 8, you're at like a 10. You were maxed out. And what follows is just a solid 8. It's still good, but I wish it would have ended on 8. It just ended on that perfect mark.
Yeah, because they were talking about doing it forever, just hanging out. And O'Neill's always inviting them to, you know, go fishing and drink beers and stuff like that. They never got a chance to do it. But then at the end of season 8, they finally do it.
And yeah, I mean...
Yeah, and then you think it's over, and then, you know, they do 9, they do 10, and a movie afterward to wrap up the Ori.
Was it Arc of Truth and then Continuum?
Yeah.
But
Continuum was a Replicator movie, wasn't it?
I don't remember which one was which anymore. I want to say Arc of Truth finished off, and then Continuum was the newest one, but I don't remember.
Stargate is so amazing, and every time the word replicator comes up on that show, look at the characters' faces, because it's not a good time. It's the look of fear.
Because if you haven't noticed, this entire planet is paved with replicators.
We aren't aware of this.
Well, then you should also know that these things have taken millions of lives, and they'll keep on doing that unless we stop.
He doesn't understand.
You know, he's standing right here.
We cannot allow you to stop them, I'm afraid.
Why not?
We are replicators.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things, because they fight, you know, they fight gods, they fight aliens, they fight creatures, they fight armies, armadas, what have you. But I don't know what it is when nothing in that show do they have the same reaction as when you hear the replicators. They just get this, like, fuck look on their face.
Well, the replicators wiped out the ancients, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, they're justified. But it's just funny that there's nothing they fight that ever gives it that same, like, reaction.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go up against the Oi. They're gods. Yeah, all right, cool. I'm pretty sure we can take them down. All right, and we're going to go up against replicators. Fucking replicators.
Yeah, for being made of Legos, they are terrifying.
When they first showed the replicators, yes, they look like Legos, but they got better looking as the budget got bigger.
Yeah, but I still thought the Lego thing was neat, because they didn't, when they destroyed, when they're killed, they still turned to Legos.
True. It's
still fun.
But then they
it's fun.
And then they became humanoids in Atlantis. Yeah, it was Atlantis. They became humanoids, right?
Yeah, they actually get to see why they took out the ancients. They're quite powerful, and you know, all of this from one of the greatest shows of all time. If you I can't stress it enough. If you haven't seen it, when you're done listening to this, go watch the show. It was on Netflix. It's not.
I don't think it is anymore.
Go anywhere that sells used DVDs. They will have plenty of copies of that fat-ass box sets for like $1. Treat yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, like I said, it's tied for a bunch of different shows. But in my heart of hearts, I know, because you can watch the movie. You know, the movie that came out, 1992 or 3?
Actually, 4, I believe.
Was it? So watch the movie with Kurt Russell. Really good movie. Okay? It's got, what's his name? French, what's his face?
Is Kurt Russell, who is playing O'Neill, who how he becomes Richard Dean Anderson, I was still trying to figure out. And he's played by the voice of Ultron in the movie. Oh God, now I can't think of his name, but he's the Ultron guy. Whoever does the voice, he's in Blacklist. Really good actor. I can't
think of his name off the top of my head either, but I know who you're talking about. So Stargate, a peak, season 8. You can watch. It's not bad if you go on. Okay. But I just think it could have ended at 8. You know, really.
It really could. The best analogy for the people who don't watch, who haven't seen Stargate or aren't familiar with it, think of the shawarma scene in Avengers, and that's basically how this show ended on that kind of note, and it was just perfect.
Yep. All right, so our last one that we're going to talk about is a show that we can both agree on that should just end. It's currently running, and it's been running for about, I don't know, 14 years.
And that is the TV Guide channel. It is no longer needed. I don't know why it's still running.
Is the TV Guide channel still running for real?
I like to believe it is. I have not confirmed this as I don't have cable. Well, in my room, I don't use it. Mm-hmm. I don't need it. But I like to believe it's still running. And if it is, you know, that's number one. It's just unnecessary.
Good point. But unfortunately, something that's less than that is Supernatural.
Yeah. Anybody ever will agree. Everybody I know who watches this show, all my friends, people I've talked to online, not recently, but just in general, we all pretty much agree. Great show. Love the characters. It really should have ended about the time that Sam went to hell.
You're agreeing with me then. So before we went live, you said that it could have ended. You didn't want to see Sam in hell, but now you're agreeing with me.
I didn't want to see the character end up in hell. Like I kind of wish they'd have found maybe he goes to hell. Angel pulls his soul out in an after credit scene.
Nah.
But that is about the season. I will agree with that. Like I don't like the idea because I'm a happy ending kind of guy when it comes to characters I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want to see the one, like, knowing that his fate was to end up in hell for all eternity. Like, that's just fucked.
Well, like I said, that's kind of like their family mythos. You know what I mean? Well,
it doesn't mean I have to.
That's kind of their fate. They're tragic heroes.
Well, that's too tragic for me. I'm just saying, you know, I want an after credit scene of Chaz getting him out of hell.
No. After the hell shit, it's kind of where it just started dipping further and further and further down. The Leviathan shit, I was not feeling that. Not one bit.
Nobody liked the Leviathan shit. It gets kind of boring. The Angel stuff was okay, but the problem was Supernatural.
Isn't the Angel stuff still fucking going on? I haven't watched it, so you're going to have to like...
So, the Angel stuff is 9 and 10. I am not caught up, but I've been told about what's going on.
Okay.
And they're doing interdimensional fun now. Let that sink in.
Fucking Christ. Okay.
And the problem is, one, Supernatural does way too many of those fucking heart-to-hearts. Like, I get it, he's your fucking brother, but after season 6, you've made that painfully clear. Mm-hmm. And to have that same argument conversation for the next 7-8 fucking seasons, still to this day they keep doing it. There's too many heart-to-hearts. It's just stupid shit like that. And the biggest problem is Supernatural, and I don't get why the writers can't figure it out. The very best shit of Supernatural, my favorite part, is that Monster of the Week shit.
Yeah.
When they're going on individual small cases, a ghost kid or a demon or just a small, you know, a threat to their life, sure, but just a small, like, fuck it character,
mm-hmm.
You're having a lot of fun. The humor is there, is a lot of fun, but it gets so serious and so repetitive, and it just becomes like so many other comic, Supernatural related things. Where when the world is always a threat, it's always the end of the world, it's always the end of the dimension, it's always the end, whatever, the big ultimate finale, it takes away the impact of it. It's just that all the time. I hate that. I hate that in so many mediums where, like, I get you want to do the big threat, but there's no harm in you do the big threat thing, then you can go back to the week to week. It doesn't hurt the show at all. Like, hold on. The best shit.
Anyway, go on.
Like I was saying, that the monster of the week, if they could ever go back to there, I think the show could be good again. But that's, they need to stop going so drama. It's almost the Buffy thing. And do the week to week. Those individual cases they went on, the ghost hunts and the stupid shit, I miss the fun. I'm so tired of this world-ending nonsense that's all the time.
Yeah. And that seems to be, what, a lot of mediums nowadays, right? Like, comics especially.
Yeah.
You know, every other week is the end of the fucking world in one series or another.
Yeah. It gets really old. I mean, I really think, especially when it comes to comics or even shows. So, for a show, I think you should have a major event, you know, if it's a long-running show, maybe every 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. So, like, in the entire run of an average show, let's say 10 years, you should have a major world-ending event maybe twice. Maybe three times if you're really clever with your writing. And the rest of the time, it should just be, you know, maybe the threat of death to one of the characters or something like that. Because it just gets old. It takes away the impact. It takes away that epic feeling when it's all the time. It's just not the same, you know? Right.
Like the yellow-eyed man in Supernatural, right? It took, like, what, 3 seasons to deal with him?
Yeah, and it gave you, when he did show up, it made it that much more impactful.
Right.
Because it was so in between, you know.
Well, they still had Monsters of the Week, but, you know, kind of like, what were we talking about earlier? Buffy. You know, Buffy had the looming threat, yeah, but she also had the Monster of the Week. You know what I mean? Like, everything wasn't focused on the big bad. Now, everything on this show is focused on just the big bads.
Yeah, Supernatural, I think is fair to say, is almost the modern equivalent of Buffy, if you think about the tone of show and what happens. You start with a lot of fun, mm-hmm. then the drama gets too high, the stakes get too high, and the fun gets too low, and it just gets old. You know, when Sam and Dean have a meaningful conversation and the slow fucking music picks up and they're in the car and they're talking about brother stuff and all that,
yeah.
It, the first couple seasons, it meant something, and you felt like that was a big moment, or they just got past something, or their relationship got even better, or, you know,
before they had been apart for so long. Like, Dean went off with Dad, and Sam went off to college. You know, they've been living separate lives, and then they reconnect. So that makes sense that they talk about shit. But then you're getting, like, season, like, 10 and 12, and they're still doing the same shit.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. That's the problem. When they first do it, you know, they had catching up to do. It made sense. There was character development. They were building that bond. They were coming together. They were doing natural things.
Mm-hmm.
But now, at least I think it was season 9 or 10, at the end of every single episode, they're having that goddamn it Sammy talk, and you're just like, you're used to it. It's just by the numbers now. You're just scratching an item off the checklist. There's no impact to it. You don't care. You're not emotionally invested in it. Yep. And to me, that just gets old. Like, they're great characters. They're great actors. And I, you know, all of them, I enjoy seeing them. But, you know, it's just a shame that their writing for CW is so fucking shitty, and they do it with everything they do that I like, that the drama doesn't hold up anymore because it's expected. Mm-hmm. I'm not invested. I don't care. I'm just like, okay, well, they'll resolve it, and tomorrow we'll have the same talk again about almost the same issue. So, meh.
Yeah. I think once they pulled Sam out of hell, I'm just like, I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, honestly,
it didn't need to be done.
Really. I kind of, you know, I think one of the best things they could do, since, you know, I know you can't just end Supernatural because cash.
Right.
Printing that money. Think about this. Sam's in hell. You make a big budget fucking movie to get Sam out of hell. You make your $1 billion and then be done with it. You know, everybody's got that one last fix. Big budget, awesome ass movie on the big screen, and you're good. You know, instead of just dragging it out and just destroying everything that we loved about the show. Now, Yeah, half the people I know only watch the show because you've been watching it for 10 fucking years. You don't want to quit now.
Yep. Loyalty, man.
It's like a bad marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, like an abused wife kind of thing. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, wrap up Supernatural.
Except for us slackers. Ray bailed on 8 and I bailed on 10.
No, I bailed on... you're right. I bailed on 8 because I watched 7. After that Leviathan shit, I was done.
Yeah, the Leviathan. It was weak. Nobody likes Leviathan.
We're in hell. We're out of hell. We're in hell. We're out of hell. Man, just fuck it. Angels fucking inner warring and just shut up. It's stupid. I like you said, Monster of the Week, riding around, you know, road buddies, you know, that was the good shit. Loved it. But then just shit got too serious and, you know, they're missing their soul or they're a fucking demon that drinks demon blood or, just stop.
Yeah, it kills it.
Yeah. You kill the devil. Where the fuck do you go from there? Purgatory?
They did purgatory.
I know.
And then they started going to gods, other gods, and then the god, or a god, depending on your point of view.
Well, Satan did kill a lot of them gods when he got out. Remember, they were all going to gang up and whoop his ass, and then he walked into the hotel and just straight up murdered them all.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to say that was probably one of the better episodes. I really enjoyed that one.
Oh, yeah. Like I say about some of the other ones on the list, it's not like it's all trash. Because the actors are still good. And the characters themselves are very good. But it's what's around them. In fact, one might say it's Warner Brothers' new way of doing things. If you've seen any of their DCEU shit, they do characters really well. But what's going on around them, you don't care as much.
It's true. It's true. I mean, there's not really much else that we can really say about Supernatural.
Now, the truth is, I'm past saving. I know how my story ends. It's at the edge of a blade or the barrel of a gun.
So I guess that's going to have to wrap this up. I mean, we did 15. I think 15 is a really good number to end on. There's still plenty of shows that could have ended sooner, but we think that, you know, you guys don't want to stick around for a 3-, 4-, 5-hour episode. So we're going to wrap this one up. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at 8BitRay. He is at Born2083. We are on the Instagram. We are everywhere. Type it into your Google machines. Gorilla Brain. Okay? No space. There you go. And you will find us.
I think that pretty much wraps it up. The only other thing I'm going to add is if we miss the show, we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, if there's a show out there that you think ended, you know, didn't end soon enough, hit us up.
Or it ended way too soon. That'll be next week.
Yeah, you know, we'd love to hear suggestions. Feel free to message us. We have not too busy schedules. Yeah. You'll get a reply.
You will get a reply. One way or another, we'll get you. I think that's going to wrap it up. And don't forget to warn your friends, warn everybody. Tell your grandma. Your grandmother would fucking love us. And we'll catch you down the line.
Hi, heroes. This is Stan Lee coming at you. Want you to know, Marvel has always been and always will be a reflection of the world right outside our window. That world may change and evolve, but the one thing that will never change is the way we tell our stories of heroism. Those stories have room for everyone, regardless of their race, gender, religion, or color of their skin. The only things we don't have room for are hatred, intolerance, and bigotry. That man next to you, he's your brother. That woman over there, she's your sister. And that kid walking by, hey, who knows? He may have the proportionate strength of a spider. We're all part of one big family, the human family, and we all come together in the body of Marvel. And you, you're part of that family. You're part of the Marvel universe that moves ever upward and onward to greater glory. In other words, Excelsior!